We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dottillo along with the legendary Herb Tyler here.
Legendary.
That's it, baby. At Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Jason and the crew will take care of you. Also, too, if you are looking for someone to cater your events, and if you know, yep, it could be for LSU tailgating or whatever, give them a call here at Acme Oyster House, and Jason can take care of that for you. He just come back from a couple runs already from Tiger Stadium. So if you need that, you can give them a call here at Acme Oyster House. Want to also thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond. Herb, Leanne brought up in her segment about Caden Durham. His health is a little bit in question. I think he plays tonight. He's got the toe injury. Miles Frazer kind of took a tumble and kind of caught him a little bit in that final game. But really, man, unbelievable first half of a game.
Unbelievable.
You know, to think that he rolled up that type total yards and he only played a half and he got hurt in the game. So you see the special element, and you and I have talked about this before.
Yep.
There is something about him, and I think I understand why Brian Kelly didn't hand him the baton right off the bat, but now he's your best back, and you got to go with him at this particular time. But his ability as a runner and a receiver, his speed, his quickness, and ability to get up the field is so impressive.
Yes.
For a freshman. And he hasn't put the ball in the turf yet.
Well, you talk about Caden Durham and the way of, you know, initially LSU didn't want to play him because he's a true freshman, right? And sometimes you just have to let the dog go, right? You unleash him and let him play.
Almost now, like if you got kids,
yes,
and you got to give them the keys to the car by
themselves. You got to let them go.
Yeah, eventually you got to do it.
You got to allow them to have the opportunity to make whatever mistakes they're going to make. Now, here's the thing. They went into the season with Caleb Jackson thinking that he was going to be a really good mix in the season with in the backfield with Josh Williams.
Caleb's too big.
It's something else going on there. I don't think it's size. I think it's something else going on there. I just don't think that he has the confidence when he gets the football in hands because he does not run like that. So, but then you turn around and a couple weeks ago, you know, or 3 weeks ago really, Durham comes in and he just makes a showing and he just does his thing. And then 2 weeks ago against South Alabama, Caden runs 7 carries, 128 yards, 1 touchdown. And then you throw him the ball 3 times with 89 receiving yards and 1 touchdown. The long was 71. That's where he showed his speed, his ability to be able to be shifty, to be quick, to also have an opportunity to just be the great running back that LSU needs, a well-balanced running back. So I'm excited about Caden moving forward. I hope he plays tonight. And if he doesn't play tonight, I still need somebody else to step up, right? We still need someone else that can tote the rock, someone that can pass protect, and somebody that can grab a screenplay and take it 71 yards if we need to. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out because I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to put pressure on Ole Miss by scoring points. It's not going to be, we were talking about a low scoring game earlier, but I don't think it's going to be that.
No, I
think
don't.
Ole Miss is.
Leanne does, but I don't.
Who's suspect is LSU's defense. Now, who's been decent every now and then is LSU's defense, but who has a really good, consistent play is Ole Miss's offense, and they've been playing very, very well. So we'll see what LSU can do to Ole Miss's offense to kind of slow him down a little bit. But Jackson Dart is one of my favorite quarterbacks in the country. And he can move with the football in his hand, and he can get rid of the ball by throwing it. But he also is a really great leader, and he allows those guys to be really great on his side of the football.
One of the things I've noticed in watching film of him the last couple of weeks, and he's a high-percentage passer. He's completing over 70%.
That's right.
But I'll be honest, Herb, he passed up, especially in the Kentucky game and a few times against South Carolina, easy throws underneath that would have been 7-8 yards, okay, to throw, and I don't know what he get after the catch, but he passed that up to try to hit the big play downfield. Now, I think a little bit of that is an extension of lane.
That was exactly what I was going to say.
I think some of that is, but as a quarterback, having played that position, kind of give your thoughts on you pass up most likely a first down throw to try to hit a 30-yard play downfield.
Yeah, it's a direct connection correlation to Lane Kiffin in my mind. I think that the two are connected, like I was talking about earlier. I think Lane Kiffin really connects with Jackson Dart in the way that you see that in what you're talking about. So one of the things that Lane Kiffin talks about is high risk, high reward. And so those guys are always really trying to get the most value out of what they're doing, right? And so it's boring to take the check down and get, you know, 10 yards and then move the chain and let's do it again. But it's really exciting when you can hit that, you know, 70-yard bomb down the sideline and it's really tight coverage. So it's exciting. But as a quarterback, what you do is you're supposed to take the check down. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, so Drew Brees will take the check down all day long, right? And then you'll have another Brett Favre. He's a gunslinger, as they talked about. He's never taken a check down. I don't even know if he knows what a check down is. But what I will say this, though, it's important that in knowing what to do inside of the flow of the game.
I think it's down in distance, a lot of it, too. Correct?
The flow of the game, where are we in this game, right? Do we need a touchdown now? Is the first down in 10, can I take a shot? Yeah, you can. But is it 3rd and 7 or is it 2nd and 7? No, you don't take that shot really because you want to make it, you know, a short yardage gain at that point. And it's just a little bit difficult for the offense to get first downs when it's a long yardage situation. So I don't know. I think that Jackson Dart is going to always be a little bit of a riverboat gambler. He's going to take his shots when it's time. And I kind of like that, and I think that's something that USC didn't like about him when he was at USC.
They didn't like that.
That's exactly right. And so then now he's at a place where that allows him to do that and be who he wants to be. And sometimes to have your individuality is a good thing because Jackson Dart literally is one of the best players in college football. He's completed 127 of 173 passes for 2,100 yards, and he's got a long of 75. I mean, this guy is just really balling out of control right now. He's 13 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions. That's a really great ratio. That's okay. Efficient.
The other part about his game, and doesn't get talked about, but I thought he really hurt LSU with this last year, was 3rd and 7, he run the damn ball for 9 yards.
This is what I've been talking about.
So that part, and a lot of people say, oh, I'm afraid somebody gets hurt. Okay. Okay. And listen, I'm afraid sometime to get in my car and go to work. But because something can happen to you no matter where you are. And you got to be cognizant. I understand taking shots you shouldn't be taking. But one of the things Jackson Dart brings to the table, a certain toughness in running the ball. And he is a very good athlete. LSU's defense is going to have to be cognizant of that tonight. Not for him to take off running the football on a 3rd and 7. Okay, you got things covered, and all of a sudden he makes the play.
Well, when you look at Jackson Dart in the run game, in his ability to be able to pick up first downs, that's what's key for a quarterback is extending the drive and getting the next 4 downs so we can get closer to scoring the touchdown. And that's important. And one of the things that Jackson Dart does very, very well is pick his feet up and put him back on the ground. What that means is he's fast. He can make it happen, and he's shifty. He knows how to run with the actual football in his hand and not just straight speed, you know. And that's what's impressive to me about him. I remember a couple of years ago he came to LSU and tore us up running the football. And one of my complaints that I've had about – and really the only complaint that I've had about Nussmeier – was the fact of the matter that he's never done that yet. He has not taken a moment to run the football on 3rd and 2, 3rd and 5, or 2nd and 3, or 4th and 1, or you know, in the goal, going into to score in the end zone. It's just he hasn't taken that moment to run the football a little bit. I'm not asking anybody to be anything other than who they are, but there's sometimes where you got to go outside of the fabric of who you are to be able to be a little bit different so you can keep your team in the game and move the football or score points. So that's going to be the scariest thing about this Ole Miss game versus LSU to me is the unknown factor of can we stop Jackson Dart from running the football. We can cover every wide receiver that Ole Miss has,
And you know Trey is not going to be close to 100%, even if he plays.
That's fine. All of that's fine. We can cover all those guys. He can be hurt, and we're going to be right there. But what happens is the breakdown and the containment of the quarterback.
I agree.
That's the most difficult thing right there. That will beat you and eat you up all the time. So, you know, if the Saints call me next week and they want me to be the head coach, first thing I'm doing is I've got to find me a quarterback that can run the football, okay? So, I'll be looking for that call about Tuesday at 8:30. I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, not take
so
it.
So you're not going to work? You figuring on getting that call at that time or what?
I'm going to go to work. I'm going to just pick the phone up. That's all.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We'll have on with us Jeff Palermo, and he'll join us for our Inside the Tiger Den segment right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. They got a lot of great food and drink specials. Jason and the crew will take care of you. And again, remind everybody that if you're looking for some catering needs on game day, hey, give them a call here at Acme Oyster House. Jason will take care of that for you. They've already had a couple of trucks go out there to Tiger Stadium to take care of things for some of the events that's happening in the tailgating deal at Tiger Stadium today. Now's the time for our Inside the Tiger Den, brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. And we have on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, Mike and Herb. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing great.
We're doing good, Jeff.
I'll throw this out. Herb and I talked a little bit about it. It's a big opportunity for Shelton Sampson because of the receivers that are down in this game. And he had an opportunity a little early in the season. It did not work out for him. He was not the playmaker that I think Brian Kelly thought he potentially could be. But, man, he's got talent. Herb and I talked about this. Jeff, do you agree? This is a confidence issue with Shelton. He has got to be able to be involved in this game early on, throw him a couple short passes, build up a little confidence in him as a player. We saw this in the evolution, so to speak, of Aaron Anderson.
Yep.
Well, he wasn't the playmaker for him last year. They got him a couple early throws this year, and all of a sudden now, Aaron Anderson's a huge part of this attack for LSU. Tonight, I think a lot of eyes will be is, can they get Shelton Sampson involved in this offense?
And I just wonder how much he's really going to play here, though, tonight. I mean, when Brian Kelly was asked on Thursday night about, okay, hey, if C.J. Daniels and Chris Hilton can't play, who's going to have to step up? And the two guys that he actually mentioned beforehand were Tre'Davious Green and Kamorian Pimpin. Tre'Davious Green seems to be a little bit more in the flow of things. And so I don't know. I don't know how much we're going to see of Shelton Sampson, but I agree with you guys. I mean, he just doesn't seem like a very confident player. And I saw this kid at Catholic High for three seasons in Baton Rouge, and this kid was making plays when he was healthy. And he had a couple of injuries here or there, a finger injury and so forth. But when the guy was healthy, he would have a huge game. He had a big game against Brother Martin in a playoff game at Ted Gormley Stadium. So I know it's in there. I mean, the guy's a four-star prospect, close to a five-star prospect. The talent is there. The size is there. The speed is there. The ability to go out and get 50-50 balls. He certainly could do it. He just needs to get a couple of catches, get a little confidence, and he'll be okay. I don't know. We'll see where how much he'll see here tonight. I think the three main guys the four main guys tonight, obviously, are going to be Kyron Lacy. I think Xavier Thomas is going to see some more, Aaron Anderson and Mason Taylor, and then there may be chances if C.J. Daniels and Hilton don't play tonight. There might be a chance there for Sampson, but I think those other guys that I just mentioned, Taylor, Anderson, along with Kyron Lacy and Xavier Thomas, I think those are the four main guys tonight that are going to be catching passes for LSU.
One of the things, Jeff, we talk about guys that step up their game. How about number 40? Man, Whit Weeks. Almost like, okay, I know you got a brother on the team. I don't know if he'll be playing that. I don't think so. But it's almost like they got twins. I mean, he's here. He's there. He's up the field. He's in coverage. He runs the field east and west. Okay, he's got something I can't teach. He got instincts. He got football sports instincts to know where to put himself in a position to make a play. And I think back, this was kind of a Blake Baker guy, okay? I think Blake saw that this guy can handle a lot of different things put on his plate, not just about a guy to stop the run, but as a blitzer, as a guy in the coverage part of the game, a lot of different things. Man, has he really played well this season for LSU?
I think he's been fantastic. I think it was a couple games ago. I don't know if it was after the South Alabama game. Probably. Maybe. I think it might have been the South Alabama game where I just said, you know what? I think Whit Weeks is a better linebacker than Harold Perkins. I know Harold Perkins is the guy that's going to go out there and he could get an interception for you. He could get a strip sack and stuff like that. But Whit Weeks is all over the field. You just recognize him so much more. And we LSU fans were clamoring for him to play more last year. You brought in Omar Spates a season ago. And I don't know. I don't know if promises were made or whatever it might have been. Once Omar Spates got healthy, they decided to put Whit Weeks on the bench. But he always seemed like to be one of the better linebackers on the team. So this is going to be a big game here for him tonight. I mean, you got a guy in Jackson Dart that you might have to tackle in space. Ole Miss can run the ball a little bit. They obviously got a good group of wide receivers. So looking forward to seeing a big game for him. And I really do think the injury to Harold Perkins, while unfortunate, I think you'd rather have Harold Perkins than not have him, it does open up the door for Whit Weeks to be a bigger part of this defense, and I'm excited to see what he can do.
Jeff, looking back at, I was talking about this a little bit earlier with Leanne, and I want to know, on the flip side, how can LSU's defense stop this Ole Miss offense? Because we all know what Lane Kiffin is. We all know what Ole Miss is all about. And for us, the one thing that we always talk about is how, a little bit shaky our defense may be at times. So how can LSU get pumped up tonight to go against a really great offense in Ole Miss after LSU's coming off a bye week, which we think that, you would think you would get better schematically as well as when it comes to injuries and get a little bit more healthy? How can LSU stop this Ole Miss offense?
I think winning first down is key tonight. I mean, I wrote about it in my preview piece at WWL.com. A lot of people have been talking about how, hey, LSU needs to win the battle of time possession. They need the offense to grind out drives. I don't know, guys. I think, if you throw a ball to Caden Durham and he goes 60 yards for a touchdown, you really can't grind out the drive. But the way that you're able to take Ole Miss out of its rhythm offensively is to give up only 2 yards on first down or stop them for negative 1 yard. When Ole Miss becomes dangerous and they're able to run the up-tempo offense, is when you're giving up 7, 8, 12 yards on first down. That's when it becomes a big problem. So you got to win first down. And then, of course, when you do get them in that third down situation, you got to get off the field.
Yep.
I think we're going to see a lot of points here tonight. So LSU's just going to need a few defensive changing plays. A couple turnovers will be good. I don't think it's going to be pretty the entire game for LSU defensively. There's going to be big plays that Ole Miss makes. I think there's going to be nice drives that Ole Miss puts together. But in the end, can LSU get a couple stops here or there? Can they frustrate Ole Miss just enough, slow them down a little bit on first down, and see if that isn't enough? And hopefully LSU's offense could do the rest of the work.
Jeff, one of the things in watching Ole Miss this year, and it goes to show you, it depends on the talent that you had. I think the last 2 years, you were blessed with a real special running back in Quinshon Judkins. I mean, he kind of tilted the field a little bit when he hit there. Now, there was a lot of kind of swirl in the tornado around him, or things happening around him, especially late last year with him. they have not run the football as effectively. And I was talking to Deuce about it, and he was like, Mike, I don't think they're playing their best running back. I think Bentley's the guy. But he said, you know, they got some issues there, sort of away from the game, that he's not the guy. But I think now, because of injuries, it's got to be Bentley sort of carry the workload here for him for running the football. And for as much as we've talked about Lane throwing the football around, it's his ability to run the ball, because they've run it more than any other team in the SEC the last 2 years.
Yep.
A lot of that has to do with Jenkins now. I will say that, because if I had him at running back, he'd be running it too.
Yeah.
But they're not as good running the ball because of the halfback position. I'm interested to watch Ulysses Bentley tonight, because I think he'll get that opportunity to be maybe the workload guy for him as a halfback.
Well, yeah, Matt Jones, I don't think the last injury report I saw, he was doubtful, so there's probably a good chance that he doesn't play. He's the second leading rusher for Ole Miss. So, yeah, I think you might see a little bit more. I'm just really interested to see how good this Ole Miss team is. I mean, I look at the competition that they played, not very good at all. Furman, Middle Tennessee, even Wake Forest was a bad Power 4 school, or not a very good Power 4 school. They go up against Kentucky. Kentucky slows them down on first down. They lose that game. They did take care of South Carolina, and we saw South Carolina give Alabama a scare. So I give them some credit for that. But I tell you what, I'm really eager. I mean, there's been all this talk about, you know, Ole Miss is loaded. They got all these guys out of the transfer portal. This is the year for Lane Kiffin, but I'm eager to see now them in this environment here at LSU with 100,000 fans, the Tigers coming off a bye week, you know, just how good this Ole Miss team is. I think that's I'm just fascinated to see how that will play itself out. But, yeah, there's no doubt what Lane Kiffin wants to do. He would like to run the ball, but, you know, Jackson Dart is still what makes that offense go. You're talking about a guy that's averaging 350 yards passing a game. I mean, that's pretty impressive, but they certainly want to mix in the running game in there as well.
One of the things, I talked to a friend of mine who scouts the SEC, and he was telling me, when I told him, there's no question Ole Miss is better up front than that front four. And you could actually say front seven. What I don't know about is how good they are in the coverage part of the game.
Yeah.
That to me is still kind of a Marvel mystery tour. For Ole Miss, how well they are in the coverage part when they're going up against an upgrade at the receiving core than what you played against, say, a South Carolina or a Kentucky. Mm-hmm. When you play an LSU, I think that's a big test for the Ole Miss secondary tonight, going up against Nussmeier. And despite the fact LSU is kind of short-sheeted at receiver because of injuries, that you're playing a different quality of receiver also. That'll be a big test for Ole Miss's cornerback group in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think, to me, if Ole Miss's defense and that secondary seems to be the weak spot, if they come out here and play tonight, play really strong, then LSU's not going to win this game. But I still have questions on truly how good they are. It seems like they're pretty good on paper. You get a cornerback from Alabama, you know, you're thinking, okay, Trey Amos, who's a kid from New Iberia, let's see, you know, just how good he is in this type of environment. Even the teams, as I just kind of went over their schedule. I mean, South Carolina is challenged offensively. Kentucky's challenged offensively. Wake Forest is not very good. You know, Furman, all those teams. Middle Tennessee, none of them are very good. They haven't come close to facing an offense as good as LSU. And so if Garrett Nussmeier takes care of the football and if they can give him protection, I mean, you're talking about an Ole Miss defense that leads the country with 24 sacks this year. If that offensive line can step up and give Garrett Nussmeier the time he needs, he's going to make the throws. I know he had a couple interceptions against South Alabama. I think a lot of that was just they jumped on South Alabama so much. Maybe the focus was a little bit off there for Garrett Nussmeier. But when he's needed to be on point, he has been on point. I think the South Carolina game is a perfect description of that. They needed him to be at his best when they got down 17-0, and he played very, very well other than the one interception he threw that almost went for a pick six. He played very, very well. He made some NFL throws in that game. He's going to need to do that here tonight.
Jeff, you know, going back to the defensive side for LSU, can you what's a couple of key players should we be looking at to try to stop that Jackson Dart? Because the thing that I'm thinking about is, you know, you said we need to stop him on first down, of course, but then you also said we need to figure out how to get off the field. And one of the most important things is not allowing Jackson Dart to run the football on third and long, third and short, when all the receivers are covered, right? So who do you think we should have keep an eye on as far as LSU's defense tonight to maybe have that task to keep Jackson Dart in check?
I think Braden Swinton is going to be big tonight. Savion Jones is going to be big tonight. I think those edge rushers need to come out and play. They got to certainly get in the backfield. Can Ahmad Bro just hang in there tough? Maybe another week here with Dominic McKinley. Maybe he grows up a little bit more. I mean, a big part of that is going to be the defensive line here. A lot of talk about JV and Tobiano now playing the star position. How much do we see of that here tonight? And then really the big question mark for LSU defensively in this game, in my mind, is who is going to play safety? We really have no idea who's going to be playing safety. We know they've rotated a bunch of guys. We've asked Brian Kelly, who seems to have emerged there, really hasn't given us any answers on that. I'm thinking it's going to be a combination of Sage Ryan, Major Burns, Deshaun Spears. I think those are the three main guys that you'll probably see back there as far as safety goes. So, for those guys there, the safeties in particular, you know, tackling space is going to be key here tonight because we know Lane Kiffin is going to want to try to get his playmakers in space. Those guys are going to have to make plays. We've seen only just a little bit of Zay Alexander. I mean, how quickly could he get into midseason form here tonight? Even though Ole Miss might not have Trey Harris, they still got a good group of wide receivers, so he'll need to play very well here tonight. So I know I kind of mentioned the entire defense needs to play well, but I think it kind of starts with Braden Swinson and Savion Jones. I think if those two guys are a menace off the edge, it might slow down this Ole Miss offense pretty good.
Jeff, last question for you. You talked about the secondary. LSU got a commitment a couple hours ago from, and I know a guy you've seen play, Jacob Bradford, who's played corner, but I think a lot of projections are that he'll play safety in college football. Just a little quick synopsis on, LSU landing Jacob Bradford, who was I think he was University of Houston commit at one time, decommitted, and now late this morning announced his commitment to LSU.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good kid for LSU. He certainly looks the part. He's got a younger brother who might be even better than him, and I'm sure that's kind of figuring into all this. But, LSU's struggling in the defensive secondary, right? They've struggled the last couple of years. This is where you're hoping that that we're starting to see the quality of defensive backs return to the state of Louisiana. You got a guy in your home city. You need him to come to LSU. And so I think it's a good get, a nice pickup for LSU. And, you know, they keep saying the cavalry is kind of on the way when it comes to improving this LSU defensive secondary.
You got to wait.
They spent a lot of time trying to recruit that position heavily, and they do got some good players coming on campus here soon.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. Enjoy watching the game tonight, and hopefully a W for the Tigers.
Yes.
That would be great. It would be great, guys. It should be a fun game in Tiger Stadium.
Thanks so much, Jeff. We appreciate it. That's our Inside the Tiger Den segment. It was brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right here from Acme Oyster House. Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler. We've got a lot more to talk about right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 4:30. Come on by. If you don't have tickets to the game, you want to watch it, you can come here and watch it. Get a great supper out of it. They got great food and drink specials here at Acme. We're talking about a little bit about this at the certainly with Shelton, but I think too one of the running backs has to emerge other than Caden. We do know that Brian Kelly likes to play running back by committee, and I think both of us thought this would be the year Caleb Jackson would make that move and take that step up and maybe become the number one guy, and he hasn't. Man, he went from like 210 pounds, he's 230 pounds, like somebody carved him out of stone, but you brought up the confidence part with similar to what we're talking about with Samson.
Yep.
And you brought that up also, too. You think it's a big part with Caleb.
I think it's a huge part with Caleb. I mean, it's the Caleb we saw last year is definitely not the same Caleb we see this year. When he gets the football, he's slowing down at the line of scrimmage. He's kind of unsure which way to go. He's not bringing the contact, things like that, that we're used to seeing from Caleb. And to me, that's a confidence thing. And maybe we made him too big, and that makes him feel like he's not the same player that he once was. It's something I don't really know. But at the end of the day, I think the guy has a phenomenal skill set. He has the ability to be great, and he can run the football with the best of them. It's just going to be a matter of how do we gain that confidence back. You know, a lot of times as leaders and as coaches and as people who other people rely on, it's how do you get the very best out of that person? What do you do? How do you make what makes them tick? How do you light that fire on them? You know, we're all looking for the same things, right? Passion, energy,
yeah.
Fire, the want to be here, and all those different things. And how do you get that out of people? And I just don't know how to do that with this young man because I don't know what's going on with him. But that's what I see is the problem. I mean, because the ability is not an issue. It's just I don't see him having fun. I don't see where he's enjoying what he's doing. I mean, he used to be in the back catching kickoffs, and he's not doing that anymore. So when you start looking down his roster as far as who's the next running back, you really only have two, Josh Williams and Caleb Jackson. That's it.
So that's it.
Who's the other guy? Where is the other guy going
to
come from?
Don't take long to call the rule.
That's right. That's it. So he needs to. We need to figure out a way to get his confidence up and get him involved in the game. Again, another person. Give him the ball in space. Let him go do something real simple stuff. You know?
Me, I'd like to throw him the ball out in the flat.
Yeah, let him catch the ball, turn up the field. That's right. I agree.
Because, okay, then you make a business decision if you're 185-pound mm-hmm. corner.
Yeah.
To try to go head up against Caleb at that particular rate. And I think we were so used to seeing it a few times. He flashed it last year.
Yep.
Man, that he turned speed into power real fast.
Yep.
And he can flat out run over you. But we have not seen that guy this year at all.
No. None of that. We've never seen that high energy in motion. We haven't seen this guy become who we know he's supposed to become, because at the present moment, it doesn't look like he's going to do it. So, you know, he don't have the opportunities. He won't get it. And if Caden is healthy, I don't think he'll have the opportunity.
With 7 minutes, 14 seconds left in the second quarter, Texas with a 7-3 lead over OU. Come on, we've seen these games in the 50s and 40s, and now you got an under game here with the Longhorns. Quint Ewers is the starting quarterback for the Longhorns, and so with about halfway through into the second quarter, Texas with a 7-3 lead, and Herb, you brought that up. They don't look steady on offense,
no.
Texas. They really don't.
They look out of sync.
I understand Oklahoma because they haven't looked steady all year.
Oh, yeah. No. They look out of sync. They look like my old Volkswagen. All of the tires was all different shapes and sizes, and this sucker used to go down the road just all weird. So, but that's how they look. They don't look good right now at all. They may have to make a quarterback change if this game continues to go like this.
And, man, OU's defense is keeping them in this. I give them credit because their offense, they have really, really struggled on the offensive side of football.
Sir.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House right here in Baton Rouge, about a mile away from Tiger Stadium. Come on by. Tell us hi. If you don't have tickets to the game, come on here and you can watch the game. Surround sound TVs and got great food and drink specials here at Acme. We'll be back to finish it up in hour number two of our Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in hour number two of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 4:30 this afternoon, but, man, they got great food, drink specials all afternoon. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. We'll be back with more Tiger Tailgating right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.